Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started, as always, with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise as we pray these Colossians prayers over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clear inside acquaintance and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And we thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. We started talking yesterday about the power of the anointing of God. But before we talk about the power that is present in the anointing that each and every one of us needs, we started talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, his personality. And so we'll pick up today from John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 5 through 7. We read this yesterday, but we'll just start from there. This is just before Jesus was to be taken away. He gave his disciples this farewell message, and he said, "But now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the comforter, the counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." So the word here that we see that, I like Amplified Version because profitable means it's good, it's expedient, advantageous. So Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit was going to have a lot to offer the disciples and ourselves. He wouldn't only just come to bring us comfort, but and make life comfortable for us. But he had a lot more to offer us. He would be our counselor. He would be our helper. That comforter encompasses his other attributes: the counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. Amen. And so that's why when you read the Bible, you find that the disciples, they mourned after Jesus left, but it was only for a short time. For after him came the one who took the baton from the bridegroom, and he is called the Comforter. Now, if you recall, while Jesus was still with the disciples of his day, they enjoyed a good measure of comfort. In fact, one of John's disciples joined him after seeing where he slept. So this same promise that Jesus gave his disciples to send the Comforter to take his place, making them comfortable, is also the same promise to you and I in this day. Amen. Jesus, in John 14, verse 12, he said, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father." Amen. So not only would the Holy Spirit come to help us to become more comfortable in this life, but he's also going to help us to do greater works than the works that Jesus did. Now, not that we'll be better than Jesus. It's just that you and I have a longer, we have more time. Jesus had a 3-year ministry, earthly ministry, whilst he was here on earth. So you and I have much more time to do that, and with the Holy Spirit's help in this dispensation, because He is the one who is in charge, He's the CEO of this dispensation, we would do much more stuff, much, much greater. We're supposed to, because of the anointing. Now, if you recall, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told the disciples, He said, you know, don't, first of all, before he left, He told them, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift, for the promise from my Father, because when He comes, you know, you will receive power. That power in Amplified, it says ability, efficiency, and might. So you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. So Jesus said to them, don't go out there on your own yet. You first have to be clothed with power from on high. That power there, that ability, that might, that efficiency, it's all part of the anointing. So basically, He was telling them that before you leave, you know, before you go out there and start doing the work and the, you know, following through with the assignments that I've given you, you need to be clothed in this, with this anointing that will cause you to be able to do the exploits, will cause you to do greater works, but you need the anointing. Amen. In order for you to have breakthroughs as you go out there to be my witnesses, you need to be clothed with this anointing. That's the power that Jesus is talking about there. Amen. So the first thing we see the Holy Spirit did when He came was to bring the disciples out of their hiding place in the upper room, because after Jesus had died and He had resurrected, they were in the upper room. They were afraid of the leaders of that day, that they would take them and, you know, either execute them or, you know, just get, do away with them. And so, what you see is before the anointing, before the Holy Spirit descended upon them whilst they were in the upper room, in the form of tongues on each one of them. Now, if you remember, John had said the one that comes will baptize you with, he said, I baptize with water, but He who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that fire is what actually manifested in the upper room, and it was like in the form of tongues, and it sat on each and every one of them. And so once that happened, once they were clothed with the power from on high, the same power we see being told, spoken of in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. Now they were ready to go out. The same, disciples who were once fugitives became rulers in the land. What happened? Well, He announced, the Holy Spirit announced His arrival. He broke the walls that enclosed the disciples, and He dignified the people. Peter, who had denied his master even before that little girl who, you know, came out and exposed him, he's the same person who now, after he received this anointing, came out boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ. And he's the same one who would go to these rulers of that day and say, Jesus Christ, whom your father killed. You know, this is the same guy who refused and denied Jesus. But now after the anointing came upon him, the power from on high, that ability, efficiency, and might, it transformed him. Amen. So the Holy Spirit came to reveal them, to bring them out of darkness and to cause their light to shine from obscurity. Jesus said that you and I are, you know, a city set on a hill. We are supposed to be a light, a shining light in the lives of those who don't know Jesus Christ. And so we find that with the Holy Spirit's coming, this is what happened to the disciples of His day. They were transformed. And they now became apostles and would go out there and minister boldly without fear. Amen. And so He caused their light to shine from obscurity. And we see that in no time at all, these disciples became a concern to the entire province where they were living. Once before, they were non-entities, but after that power, that anointing came upon them and transformed them in the upper room. What Jesus said, you will be clothed with power from on high. Once they were clothed with that anointing, with that power from on high, they now were, you know, so powerful. They were rulers in the land to the point where everywhere they were living, they were a matter of concern. Authorities in power were holding meetings because of them. You know, they became the unbeatable winners, speaking and having whatever they spoke. After that anointing, you know, was, you know, released upon them, that after they were clothed with power. We see that, you know, as you read the book of Acts, we see they took over the synagogues as though there were no high priests there previously, but they took over. According to the Bible, we find that in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, and the message of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And besides, a large number of the priests were obedient to the faith in Jesus as the Messiah, through whom is obtained eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. So we see that the mission of the Holy Spirit was that he came to reveal the sonship of the sons of God. He is the personality to lean on today. We are told in Romans 8 that the world is waiting, groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So if we want to become the sons of God, we should be, want to be clothed with power, with this anointing. Amen. If we want to be accomplished, he is the only one in this hour that can make the difference. And his name is called the Comforter, the Holy One of God, the Holy Spirit, amen, our Counselor, Intercessor, Strengthener, our Standby, our Advocate. He's our everything. At this particular hour, he's the one that can make that change in our life through his anointing, amen. So now that we know a little bit about the person of the Holy Spirit and how he can transform once we're clothed with power, let us go to Isaiah 61 to see some of his attributes. Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. The Bible says that to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we find that the Holy Spirit is actually referred to as the oil of joy. And why do I say that? Well, because he came to bring them comfort. When the disciples, when Jesus was about to leave, they were mourning for Jesus. But when he came, he brought them the comfort. He brought them joy. So he is the oil. He's also the oil of joy. In Psalm 45 and verse number 7, the Bible says, you love righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And so again, here we see that he's also referred to as the oil of gladness. Amen. He's referred to as the oil of joy, you know, to break, you know, to take away any type of mourning. He's also known as the oil of gladness. Amen. And so what this means is that he is the anointing for joy and gladness. Like when you, for instance, if you go to the hospital and you take a shot, well, he's like a shot, that shot that injects joy and gladness into the beneficiary. Now, what is the significance of joy and gladness? Well, in Proverbs 17, verse 22, the Bible says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So we see that joy is an instrument that makes for a healthy body. Amen. A broken spirit, however, is said to dry up the bones. So when you have joy, you know, it brings, it's like medicine. It causes, or it brings about, you know, healing to that body. And, you know, you'll find that even doctors can tell you that there are some diseases that cannot be traced, yet they exist. Most health problems come from a broken heart and not necessarily any traceable disease. And they're mainly responsible for the dry bones. And so the oil of joy guarantees a healthy lifestyle. It is like medicine to the body. So again, you know, don't confuse joy with happiness. Happiness is connected with what you have, what you can see and touch. And so it is temporary. Joy, however, has its foundation in God. It is referred to as joy unspeakable or joy undefinable. You can't define the reason for it, but it is there. This is one of the cardinal missions of the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Amen. So a wounded spirit, in fact, King James uses that term, a wounded spirit. Here in Amplified, it says a weak and broken spirit. But a wounded spirit inflicts unbearable afflictions. But when the Holy Spirit has his way, he looses the oil of gladness that puts an undeniable, unspeakable, perpetual smile on the person's face. The joy is such that you can't explain or express why you're so excited on the inside. It wards off all infirmities and sustains us. And this is in line also with Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, which says, the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Amen. So the joy of the Lord takes over your entire system and keeps it healthy, active, and well. And so joy easily wards off, you know, any type of attack from the enemy, regardless of whether it's in your health or just in the environment, in your family. When you have the joy of the Lord, you know, the enemy cannot even come near you. When you have this joy, the joy of the Lord, people can't understand what it is that gets you so excited. So it's more comfortable to be healthy than to be sick, because we see that the joy of the Lord is the strongest immunity that we have against all diseases and plagues of this world. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've been told, you know, that the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up and bear? So that joy is what will sustain us, you know, when we are in, you know, when we have bodily pain. In King James, it says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So, you know, when you have a broken spirit, that's how easily diseases can come into our bodies or even manifest within our bodies, and doctors can't even figure out what it is. And so the joy of the Lord is what will ward off all those different sicknesses and plagues. Let's now go to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. In Romans 5 verse 5, the Bible says, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the Holy Spirit is the one who pours out the love of God into our hearts. Now, love is what determines our access to revelation. The love of God is what determines our access to revelation in the Word of God. Not only does it determine our revelation, but it also determines the levels that we enjoy in life. You know, from one level to another level, whether it's a level of prosperity, level of healing, this is the love of God is what determines what, you know, how high we'll go in life. Amen. Because the Bible says in Matthew 22 and verse 37 through 40, and he replied to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, your intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. So except by an enabling force, it is impossible to so love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, your intellect. Even to love your neighbor as you love yourself, it is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why Romans 5:5 tells us that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who pours out, he injects into our hearts the love of God. He's the one, you know, who pours out in our hearts that love of God. For us, in order for us to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all our mind and intellect, and even to be able to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And without the Holy Spirit doing that, if your neighbor wrongs you, you don't want to love them. Yet the Bible says, pray for them, bless them, love them. Now, that's one thing that the flesh doesn't want. But because the Holy Spirit pours out, you know, he's enabled us to be able to love the way Matthew 22, 37 through 40 requires for us to love. Now, the love that is being spoken about here is the proof that you and I love God. When we love God with all our hearts and our minds and our hearts and our soul, and then we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, that's proof that we love God. Now, love is the platform on which the laws and commandments function. When love, this love of God, is out of place, you can't expect and don't expect scriptures to have accumulated to produce for you. It's like you pouring, you know, planting seed and then take, you know, uprooting that seed and expecting and still expecting that, you know, that ground to produce for you without the seed. It doesn't work like that. The love of God is seed in our hearts to help us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so everything in the Bible is dependent on this, these two commandments. That's why it says, sum up and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. It means that everything, whether it's about finances, whether it's about your life, your family, your children, everything depends on these two commandments. And so when the love of God is out of place in your life, then scriptures cannot, you know, produce for you. This means that the love of God cannot be acquired through human means. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to pour out, to inject love into our hearts. Otherwise, it will be mechanical or out of duress or by force and out of necessity, not willingly. But by this act of the Holy Spirit, we come into the covenant fulfillment of Matthew 6:33, which says, but seek ye first. Amplified says, seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. Now, what can be more comfortable than to have all the things that others are struggling for out there to be added to us just because we love God? You see? And that's the thing. The love of God, once it's supreme in your heart, you are able to do, you are able to seek first the kingdom of God. You're able to do, you know, his, you know, his, you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then you'll find that all these things can be added unto you. Amen. It is the kind of love, you know, a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's actually this kind of love that prompted Apostle Paul to ask in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, Galatians 5 and verse 6, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Is that what I wanted? No, I wanted the question where Apostle Paul asked and said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Amen. Who shall separate us from the love of God? You see, there is a way that you and I can love God that will blind us totally to our needs and circumstances. You see, we're not going to be moved. We're not going to be fazed by our needs or our circumstances because we're so in love with God. If you don't love God this way, with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, then there's room for you to actually be moved by other things. But when God is your central focus and you just pour, you know, the Holy Spirit has poured out God's love into our hearts and your focus is to seek at, aim, you know, like Matthew 6:33 says, seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, there's no room for anything else. And that's why when that's your focus, you'll find that everything else that you need, those needs, those circumstances, God takes care of them. But the problem is that we're not focused on loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's not the central focus. We have room to allow cares of this world to come in and take up our time, worrying how that's going to turn out. How are we, you know, how can I turn this situation around, or how can I make this work for me, and how can we do this, and how can I change that, and how can, you know, all these different things take up our time. They rob us of the time that we need to be spending with God. It robs us of the time that we need to be seeking first of all his kingdom, you know, striving after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And as we do that, that's the promise we are given. As we do our part, then God does his part of meeting every need and turn, you know, working on those negative circumstances and turning them around. That's why it says, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. That's God's part. Our part is to start by seeking after the kingdom of God. Amen. And so it's important for us to, you know, to develop this love. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who pours this love for him. When you have such love for God, I'm telling you, with all your heart, when you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your entire everything, you will not be moved by the attacks of the enemy. But the reason we focus on that is because we are not yet there at loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So today I'm going to leave you with this. Why don't you go before the Lord and pray? Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out the love of God in your heart, to pour out this love on you again. You know, pour out this love of God so that you can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Ask him to circumcise your heart so that you can learn to love God with everything in you and that you will not be moved by any of the outside influences or circumstances, so that you can now seek after, aim, and strive after, first of all, God's kingdom and his way of doing and being right. And we stop there. That's your prayer. asking the Lord to help you. Holy Spirit, pour out God's love, because your word says that it is you, Holy Spirit, who pours out. You know, you, it says, for God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if you are not yet at that place where you know that you love God with everything in you, then ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit, you are the one who has poured out into our hearts the love of God. Help me, Holy Spirit, circumcise my heart so that I may be able to receive this anointing or this love that you've poured out in my heart, not only to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but also to enable me to love my neighbor and also to seek after, so that my priority may be Matthew 6:33, seek after. Aim at, strive after, first of all, God's kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then you stop there. Don't mind the things and all these things that I need and all these circumstances that I'm going through. That's not for you to worry about. You and I, we need to just worry about the first part. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to pour out that love once more into us. By God's grace, we'll continue tomorrow. We are out of time today. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget, today we have our spiritual luncheon, healing for marriage and relationships. Be blessed. Bye-bye.